sexy, spooky bones.
Hello, and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
John!
And welcome to the show. This week, we will review Sissy. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we will go to deep spoiler analysis. But today, we are doing our top five horror movies, as it is...
I thought we were doing top five movies we reviewed this year.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be that. We call that too. Yeah. Oh. So anything we saw in a year period can be on this list.
That's very final of you. It's a very finalized idea. You said anything we saw in a year period. That's all you get. That's what you meant, right?
Yeah.
So you weren't saying in a circa 365 day span. You said a year period.
Yeah, because technically this is airing on the 19th, I think. So we're not late. This is just a list that's reflective of what we think of the year. So actually, I gotta amend that. So it is. It's not only what we reviewed. Did you say what we reviewed on the show or just like what we saw this year? It's an important distinction.
I thought I understood the assignment is like our top five movies we done this year.
Oh, so we did this year. Okay. So I have to make some quick changes to my thing. So just some quick, but I am now officially ready.
You can keep
for top five movies I saw this year.
So coming in at number one is The Menu, and coming in at number two is The Invitation, and coming in at number three
is The Invitation Two.
The Invitation is Don't Breathe Two, and coming in at number four.
So this was a really great year in horror.
Oh, real quick. I just like that I was naming a bunch of movies I know we haven't seen or reviewed yet. And we're always complaining we don't have anything to see or review. And I just like quickly shot off.
Yeah.
like several movies that we just actually don't want to watch. That's what's happening in case you guys are wondering why we haven't reviewed them.
Okay. Well, I mean, next week we're going to watch The Menu, right? Is that what?
The Menu. We decided?
The Menu?
Yeah, I really want to watch The Menu. The
Menu. So. This was a fabulous year in horror. So many surprises, so many returning franchises. A lot of stuff to pick from. Too much to watch.
Midnight
Mass. Would you say that? Would you characterize this as like there's just too much stuff to watch? Even though we just literally said we don't know what to watch.
Rolando coyfully suggested that we just review Midnight Mass because I'm so in love with that show, and I was like, Yeah, just maybe, but no, we decided against it.
I almost got you to watch it again.
it's like, I guess I can try to rewatch it for the eighth time. I'm just kidding. I haven't seen it. It's a lot of
I'm going to just like rattle off some real quickly before we get to our top five. I'm just going to do a quick surprise slash disappointment list.
Okay.
That are not on my like top five. And we don't necessarily have to discuss them if we don't want to. Just chime in if you feel like you have something to say about it or whatever. So I'm going to put...
Yeah, Silent Night is, bad.
Bad. for surprises, I thought Scream was excellent. I liked I liked Halloween Ends. I liked, so this is the other one that's kind of weird. Prey. I really thought Prey was really good.
You know, that is a movie. It did not have me the first like 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought, I'm not really sure where to point the problem, but I thought the young lady portraying our protagonist was a little too teen angsty, but who am I to say how tribes and teens amongst those tribes would act? But I also didn't think there would be this idea of like a capitalistic nature or whatever. Like, I mean, not capitalistic. That's not the right word to say. I know she was just trying to be like, I can do this. I can do this also. But there was something very emo-ish, very like, no, me, or whatever. And it was like kind of bugging me. But then when the movie kicked off, I was like, fuck yeah, this movie's badass.
Yeah.
And I was like 100% on her side, like, yeah, please fuck this predator up.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was a nice reboot. Well, not really a reboot. It's like a sequel? Is that where it landed on it?
A prequel?
Prequel. A prequel? Yeah.
Like a prequel?
Yeah, I'm not sure how to categorize it, but yeah, it was really fun.
Because you got to see the Predator with, I forgot what century it said it was, but you get to see how far they evolved. Because like the mask was still made out of some sort of bone. It wasn't like the new advanced mask that they have now. Stuff like that. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree. Real quick, disappointments that came out this year we reviewed, didn't review. I'm going to say Hellraiser, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, 2022, Firestarter, which you didn't watch. Not very good. And Nope. I think that's probably the spiciest spice on that list.
Nice. So I did enjoy Hellraiser and Nope.
Yeah.
I will say by far they are not nearly in the bottom 50% of the worst movies I've seen this year.
Yeah, you know? I agree. I specifically put it like not the worst, not the best, not the worst. I put disappointment.
So you're too overhyped film my category.
Incredibly high standard of movie didn't quite meet up with overhyped. No, you're right about that too. I think. Those like I enjoyed parts of Nope, and I enjoyed a lot of Hellraiser, but they didn't really do anything else for me. Like the way people have flocked to it or obsessed about it in some way, like especially Nope, that was on a lot of like end of the year lists.
Because I still think it's a solid movie. Because that many people still go out to watch these Paranormal Activity movies, and they just keep getting fucking shittier and shittier. Even though I did enjoy this last one, but it was barely a Paranormal Activity movie. So,
yes, absolutely. Do you have anything off the top of your head that you want to mention, or do you want to get into our actual top five?
Disappointments?
Surprises?
You know what? Biggest disappointment again this year for me, after being subjected to watch it again, is the Evil Dead remake is just such a shit movie. Yes.
You're welcome, John. I like to. Please.
No, I can never be mad at you for making me rewatch things. I'm like, yep, there you go. I knew it. It's not just me. That movie's trash.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Okay. What is your number five for you?
Coming in at number five, if I can find it. I like switch my notes to look back real quick and stuff. Alright. Coming in at number five for Johnny's top five movies of 2022 that we reviewed. The Black Phone.
The Black Phone. Nice. Yeah. Number five.
That'll be my number five. For sure.
You're number five.
It was a pleasant surprise of Somebody was telling me, like, yeah, that movie was so good, right? I'm like, yeah, it's great. It's definitely not my favorite, but it was so fucking, like, reminiscent of, like, to me, it felt like somebody was really trying to hone their Richard Linklater, but still make a horror film.
Yeah. Everything you said, it was no argument there. I will give you my number five, which is Deadstream. Speaking of, you know, Evil Dead remakes, this is definitely if Evil Dead was a live stream movie, and it was super funny and entertaining throughout and enjoyed the laughs.
You putting that string of words together made me think, like, Deadstream would be, if it was like a Broadway play, it would be the Evil Dead of Broadway plays, because it plays out like a play.
No, yeah, definitely. And it was a lot of fun. It's a movie that's crowd pleaser, super fun. Okay, so what's your number four?
Coming in at number four for the top five. Here comes the devil.
Here comes the devil.
That was a great
Which
one
was that? I don't
remember. That was a fucked up one, the Mexican one where...
Oh, yeah.
They fuck in the car and their kids die and get cloned by evil stuff.
Their kids start fucking too. Yeah, they're all fucked up movie.
Yeah, that movie was fucking great. It was such a weird surprise. Like, I randomly saw it on a list. I'm like, hey, it's a Mexican movie. Let's support. I was like, man, this is fucking gnarly. It's good.
Yeah, that one was... they did so many, like, challenging things that play against what that sort of like devil possession movie. And it was like super grounded and stripped away of like big budget, you know, like a big budget movie or something like The Omen or some bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a very, very good movie.
The Omen. That's that real shitty one. No, The Unholy. That's the fucking shittiest movie I saw all year.
Yeah.
Thank you for reminding me that was the shittiest one.
I'll give you my top four now. And it was The Innocents.
Nice.
Loved The Innocents.
I forgot about that one. Damn it.
That one kind of snuck up on me. That one was surprising. And it was interesting. It was a really interesting movie that I think people are going to find. People are going to like and eventually catch up with and realize, like, oh, that movie was fucking great. You know, like, it's going to find an audience.
You know, I talk about that movie all the time, and it surprisingly didn't make my top five, but just because it, like, I forgot. But it still will not replace my number one.
Okay. Hints to stuff. Okay. What is your number three?
Coming in at number three, I have Deadstream.
Deadstream, you see?
I thought it was so much fun. I enjoyed the shit out of it.
Yeah. I think that I'm liking that we're not, like, picking the same movies. That's good.
Except for Deadstream. Unless our number one's the same, which would be very surprising.
I don't know. We'll keep it in suspense. Okay. My number three is Fresh.
That one was pretty fucking good, too.
Fresh is fucking great. Blew me away. Super fun. My favorite cannibal movie of the year. So,
you know, there's also... Is this a genre of horror that maybe we're just unfamiliar with, but we are starting to familiarize ourselves with? Like, I feel like in the same vein, it is what? Fresh. What is it called? Not The Hairdresser. What's it called?
The Stylist.
What was that Australian one where they kidnap the girl wants that guy to be, or yeah, that guy to be her date, and she like tortures the shit out of him?
The Loved Ones? No.
Yeah.
Something Ones. The Loved Ones. Was it something like that? I can look it up. Give me a second.
I feel like it is a loved one's. Just to keep that in mind for a little bit later in this episode.
Okay. Looking. The loved ones. It is the loved ones. Yeah. All right. Yeah, Fresh was excellent. Great performances. Fun movie. Fun twist. They have a fucking really creative and inventive and stylist. Like the style of the movie. It was fucking fantastic. Really enjoyed it. Okay.
Yep.
John, what is your number two?
Coming in at number shit, which is number two for Johnny's top five movies that we reviewed this year. Barbarian.
So this is great. I'm just going to say that Barbarian was also my number two, so we can freely talk about this together.
Okay, good. Yeah. It was fucking brilliant. I don't
know. It was so much fun. Yeah.
It was so good.
The less you know about that movie, the better. Like, try not to, like...
You know, and they do a fucking wonderful job with the trailer also, because it's like, I'm not sure what... If it tells you anything, because once you start watching the movie, you kind of forget.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Very good stuff. Highly recommend.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. Super fun. I am going to say... I don't know what your number one's going to be. Very curious about this. So, because we do, I will say we do not have the same number one.
No, we probably do not. I can guarantee that almost, but I'm not sure. I don't know. We have surprised each other in the past. That's how we keep the passion alive. We learn something new about each other every day.
It's true. Oh, okay. Well, I'm super curious. All right.
Coming in at Johnny's number one top five reviewed movie of this past year, period. The Lake House.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. All right.
Brilliant, poignant, beautiful, whimsical, romantic. Everything you need to take you away from this life you have right now.
So
maybe
people,
to the past, maybe to the future, via letter in a mailbox.
So for people that don't know, John and I every year do a Valentine's Day episode, and we decided to review the most romantic time travel movie ever made, starring Keanu Reeves. Yeah.
Fuck you, time traveler's wife.
Fuck you all the way, time traveler's wife.
I'll give you that. Broken Social Scene did a fucking fantastic cover of Love Will Tear Us Apart, but that's all you get. Got nothing of Keanu and Sandra. Our generation's Tom and Meg.
Our generation's Keanu, Carrie-Anne Moss, or Selma Hayek, Antonio Banderas, or I don't know. Yeah.
No, I'm going to stick with Keanu and Sandra, or were our generation's Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan.
That's true. Okay, I'll take that. Definitely. Well, what about Keanu Reeves and Winona Ryder?
I feel like Winona's always going to be attached to Christian Slater for that sort of...
Yeah. Possibly. Yeah. Okay. So my number one movie, that's a really fun pick. So my number one movie is I picked The Black Phone as my number one favorite movie of 2022.
You know, you took a split second longer than I thought anybody would to say phone. I was like, is this fool really about to say his number one movie is The Black Roses? For 2022.
I thought that's what you were gonna say. I
thought about giving it a shout out, like, but the only like extracurricular pick I'll give are all the Rebecca Hall movies.
Yeah, I agree with that. Rebecca Hall is like the queen of horror. Watch anything she's in.
The queen of psychological distress, traumatic horror. Sorry, what's her name from? We just saw her in Guillermo del Toro's.
Neo Vardalos? No.
Yes. yeah, that one.
Yeah, so I picked a black phone.
S.E. Davis, sorry. I couldn't remember S.E. Davis's name.
Yeah, S.E. Davis, yeah. Who's S.E. Davis? Wait, that doesn't ring a bell.
S.E. Davis is in The Babadook, and then we just saw her in Guillermo's.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
I can't say Guillermo's, but what's her name that did The Babadook?
Jennifer Kent.
The last episode. Yes, Jennifer.
Yeah, loved it. Absolutely loved it. I love The Black Phone. It's been my favorite movie this year. I don't know what else to say other than, like, it was a great experience going to watch it in the theater, which started with, we get there, we're watching trailers, and a bunch of kids, like small kids, sneak in and start the movie. And they sit, like, on our row, obviously, right? And we were also in, like, a packed theater. Four or five kids walk in randomly, just like, oh, I'm going to go watch this movie. Sneaking in, obviously, right? They sit and they talk through all the trailers. And once the movie starts and there's an abduction, they fucking split, which was great. they're like, because it's really kind of like fucked up, right? When he's playing the... magician or whatever, and then like he fucking kidnaps the kid. After that,
should write a movie. Actually, I was actually a bit role in a movie kind of similar to this, but it wasn't very well done. Where people talk in theaters like that, and they are the ones that get killed, not like Scream,
right?
And not like Scary Movie either. I forgot that happened in Scary Movie. Do you remember that? She's being the Jada Pinkett Smith character, and
yeah, she's being real loud. Like, and
the scream, the Ghostface killer goes and like stabs her, and then everybody else is like, "Yeah." Then everybody gets up from the audience, and they all have knives for no reason and start stabbing her too.
Yeah. And you know, it's pretty obvious this is going to be my favorite movie because I have my man crush on Ethan Hawke. You can do no wrong.
Yeah.
So
that's why I had to give it. I had to give it at least in the top five, but I didn't want to give it number one. It might have almost been number one, but you know, we did review The Lake House.
We did review The Lake House.
So
this year. Fair
I'm not gonna. Why would I, in a million years, put a movie above that one?
Fair enough. Absolutely.
But if I could,
right,
it would be Come True. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That was our wrap up.
Can't
for 2022.
You gotta stop picking that movie.
Come True.
Yeah.
Watch it. It's good.
Well, I mean, so that was our top five movies we reviewed in 2022. And we have so much planned. It's not like we just jump on here and decide what to watch 2 minutes before we start recording. So for the following week. That never happens. But yeah. That was what we found the best out of 2022.
You're welcome. Go watch them. Go watch all of them. Hate them.
Yeah,
love
everything.
Them. Just support them.
There you go. Support horror. Alrighty. John, let's go to our main review of Sissy. John, do you want to give us the plot in five words?
Johnny.
Five words.
Plot summary.
Drum roll, please.
Yes. Also, Sissy means sister for English people. But for everybody else on Earth, that means some sort of pansy. Which I'm not even sure where that word comes from either.
Cecilia as well, right? She was and very Cecilia. Adamant about her name was Cecilia, not Sissy.
All right. Yes. For Sissy. Coming in at number three for Johnny's five-word plot summary. Learning to kill the past.
Well, that's just accurate. That is
I think everybody should take a note from this movie's book and understand how to like just let go, destroy everything you used to be, create something new. Coming in at number two, killing of a sacred deer. Right? Wasn't that what happened at the beginning?
I haven't seen that one. Spoiler.
No, just kidding. They hit a deer at the beginning of the movie.
So that's
like it's important to what happens later in the movie, where they like end up mercy killing it because it's the right thing to do.
Damn.
They drive by a deer that's on the ground already, and then they hit another deer.
So you're telling me they actually kill a deer? It's not just some sort of metaphor or euphemism or something, or.
No, I'm just trying to blur the lines between movies, between very good movies and very fucked up movies.
They really killed the deer? That's crazy.
In the beginning of this movie.
They did, yeah. And they killed the kangaroo. Let's be accurate. But
a kangaroo? Oh, the second thing, yeah. But there was also a deer that was dead at the beginning, and they keep going back to it.
Oh, yeah. As a shot of foreshadowing, there was a rotting deer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And coming in at number one, Cecilia has too many friends.
She does. What was she up to? Millions? Million, 2 million. Yeah.
To be only fair. One way to fix that.
Give me your friends.
Gotta cut some people from your life.
Alrighty. So, John, what did you think of Sissy?
What to say about this film? As I was watching it, I mean, I remember saying, let's do this one because it sounds fun. It's like gory and blah, blah, blah. I had completely forgotten all about that. And the first like 20 something minutes of this movie, I was like, oh my God, what am I watching? This is just kind of cringy. And it's kind of like borderline annoying. Kind of the same feeling I got from All My Friends Hate Me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And I'm like, God, like these people are just fucking rude. And like, I'm not sure. It started to feel like a made for TV Blumhouse thing. And I was like, I don't know if I'm into this. And then when the twist really happens, I was like, oh, fuck, I forgot. Holy shit, is the rest of the movie? Oh, fuck, the rest of the movie's like this. Gotcha. Okay. I'm in for the ride. Let's fucking do this. Like, by the end of it, I was like, rock and roll, dude. That was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. But it is fucked up.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
There's no doubt that this is a fucked up movie. Like, there's something to be said about it is portraying mental health in a negative light, but also maybe it's like attempting to cast a light on when you don't get help and you just kind of let these things go, or, you know, there's also some entitlement issues. I don't know.
Yeah, so kind of let's break it down. So the plot described by IMDb is teen best friends, Cecilia and Emma, after decades run into each other. Cecilia is invited to Emma's bachelorette weekend where she gets stuck in a remote cabin with her high school bully. Roughly is what it says. And that's kind of it, but there is a sort of fantastical, satirical tone to this almost immediately, and it does satiricalize influencer culture, which seems to be like our generation's obsessed with celebrity or fame, you know, like Martin Scorsese made King of Comedy, or like what's another good sort of riff on that idea, and kind of pokes fun at influencer culture while also trying to, of course, expose it for its emptiness, its shallowness, its
You know, I think that was what was turning me off to the movie, was that aspect of it at the beginning. Because, I mean, it's still kind of there the rest of the movie, but then it's not as important. Like, arguably not as important. Like, it is a scapegoat for a certain character's feelings as opposed to what's really happening. Because I think I was already like, we just saw bodies, 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 and that was almost the same idea, just like poking fun of Gen Z.
Right. We've seen this a lot in a lot of movies we've started to review. This sort of...
This year, right? Yeah.
Yeah, this year in... what was that other one? Spree from last Spree. Year. There's been a lot of... I guess this is sort of like the hot topic, hot thing to kind Dead of stream. Deadstream. Yeah. Yeah. It's rife with tearing apart, I guess, right? Or having an opinion. Creating a kind of a story out of it. So,
yeah.
I would say that part of it is important, but like less, I think that less important in the sense that the movie's called Sissy, which is what Cecilia's nickname was, right? When she was a child. And like you said, there's like a double entendre between Sissy in the sense that like a sissy is somebody who's like, it's described as somebody who's scared or somebody who is frightened all the time or something. And sissy is also could mean like
short for Sissy Spacek.
Sissy Spacek, yeah. Great. And and so this movie is about Sissy and her behavior and putting her really. The film does an excellent job of trying to wrap her emotional mental state into the movie by right. having, and I think that was part of it because it has like this sort of dark comedy tone in the beginning, but I think that's there because I think that's like her skewed view of the world, like because they do this thing where everything's kind of bright and colorish and it's very, very like feminine. They even have the music too was like kind of whimsical at points.
Yeah.
So it's really trying to like set you in this person's mindset. So you can get it. So when all this like with the, well, I'm assuming the idea is to contrast it with all of this violence, you know, ultra violence, mental break that she has towards the end of the movie, which I really was engaged with. I really liked those parts of the movie. I think they did an excellent job of crafting this character.
Was that a spoiler? Sort of. There is one more twist at the end, but
there's a couple of twists. But yeah. I mean,
because definitely, like they set the movie up like you're on her side. She's your protagonist,
right? Mm-hmm.
Until she isn't, I guess.
Not our protagonist. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was set up pretty well. No, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. I ended up really enjoying this movie.
I also like that they are playing with a couple of things, right? That she is an introvert. She is She's lonely.
Thousands of friends, but doesn't want to be around people. That's what I was going to point out.
Right.
It does a good job of like portraying that sort of mental illness. And she's also voluntarily shutting herself in, I think is what's going on.
Right.
And then she kind of somewhat gets forced to come out and be around people. And she doesn't know how to socially engage with people in person.
She is definitely, maybe even has like, she's definitely not, doesn't have like a maturity in that, like, she's kind of stuck in one mental state. It's kind of like there was, without spoilers, an incident that happens when she's a child that sort of directly dictates her behavior through the rest of her life or where we meet up with her in the movie and everything that happens at the end.
Which I like sat and thought about, which I rarely do for like movies like this, but it was, it's funny. I feel like if I rewatched the movie, I would be 100% on another character's side the entire time. Now knowing what I know, not what happens the rest of the movie, just more of like, yeah, dude, I would never fucking want to see this person again in my life. Like, that's fucked up. I understand she was just a child, but it's also like, I mean, this is a pretty extreme example, but the Columbine kids were just kids too, and they killed a bunch of people. I'm not going to forgive them. Like, that's not cool. Like, I don't care what's going on.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
I get what you're saying.
It's also like our idea of society is like, you don't ask for help because that makes you weak, and she's already feeling weak.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, I thought that was kind of really, I really like the way they built the character of Sissy. Almost like they built, like, Nightcrawler, or like the Talented Mr. Ripley. Those sort of... Yeah.
Was the Talented Mr. Ripley also an X-Men?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When Nightcrawler and the Talented Mr. Ripley teamed up.
Yeah, I mean, those were kind of like, what do you call them? Like... sociopath type individuals with
American Psycho.
Yeah. Like, I feel like she's definitely built in that mold, the character. And yes,
that's a good point.
And they did an excellent job of making you empathize with her until you don't. Let's put it that way, because then it's very clear on her behavior, and there's a lot of conclusions you can draw about her choices, her bad choices, her bad behavior, I guess. And then when she becomes, you know,
our antagonist, something else, I'm sure people have figured it out by this point.
Yeah.
But it's got a hell of an ending. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
It was satisfying, and then it was unsatisfying, and then after a moment, I was like, that was ultra satisfying, actually. I don't know. It was like so fucked up.
Yeah. No, yeah, I definitely agree. Not sure what else we can say about it. I think that, like, I love that this is a horror movie, but it's built, there's so many pops of color, and the exact opposite of what you think a horror movie is, but it like perfectly syncs up well. There's even at the end credits, there's like a, you know, 90s, early 2000s boy band pop song. Yeah. Right. You know, like that plays over it.
Yeah. It's like high contrast with how gory it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there's some like, no, like, I guess like pretty much every actual death is like disgusting. It is Drive levels of gore.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, holy shit.
No, yeah. And I think that like they did an excellent job of really covering who this character is and making you kind of feel bad for her and then not feeling bad for her because she is a terrible, terrible person. So
not a good person. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also like a good example of the bad guy never thinks they're wrong.
Yeah, that's 100% true. Yeah. Yeah.
And this is like a very good portrayal of that. Like, not once did she ever think she was doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, she did. She was the victim. Kind of treated as the outcast and made fun of.
And when all she wanted to do was, like, you know, paint her best friend's nails that she hadn't seen in like 10, 15 years or whatever. 10 years? 8 years? I don't know. I don't know how they're supposed to be, I'll be honest.
Yeah, it must have been at least 10, 15 years, something around that. I forget what happens. She moves away or they stop being friends or something, right?
Well, no, the thing that happened when she was a kid happened, and then I think they like decidedly took her away or decided not to talk to her.
Okay, yeah. I wasn't clear of like why they I mean, I knew why they were not friends, but I couldn't figure like Was there like some other turning event that caused them not to be friends? Yeah.
Because the first major weird flashback she has is she sees herself as a child covered in blood.
Mm-hmm. And we definitely find out why. Definitely should find out why. So I also want to shout out one of the writer directors is the co-star, Hannah Barlow. She's played Emma. She also wrote and directed it with a Kane's Senses. So that was fun. This definitely had a uniqueness to it. Very, very specifically written uniqueness and direction. So she definitely had a strong hand on the tone of this movie, which is great. Another important voice, I think, in horror here. Definitely she keeps up like this uniqueness, this style that she has, and this like thing that she has things to say, you know, like the movie. Hopefully she continues that.
Yeah, this was good. I was also going to say Emily de Margheriti.
Mm-hmm.
She plays Alex, like the main, I guess, quote unquote bully.
Right.
I was racking my brain. I swear we just saw her in something else and I tried to look her up and she didn't exist.
Yeah, she looks wildly familiar. I could not place her face either. Yeah.
Insanely familiar. And like it was bothering me. And then it occurred to me, I promise she was that one actress where I was like, I think I'm in love with this person, but she doesn't exist really on the social media stuff. Because whatever else we saw her in, I was like, she was brilliant. And I don't know. Like she was great in this too.
Yeah. Alrighty. Do you want to go into spoilers?
Yeah, spooky sexy bones. So I'm going to give this... I'm just kidding.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
Spoilers!
As you probably deduced before we flat out said it, Cecilia / Sissy ends up being... the bad guy because they have a flashback to what happened and why. I mean, I guess the kids were all being bullies already, but
right.
I don't think any worse than you would normally like on average see kids being towards each other. Really? Like kids are just kind of rude and mean and they don't understand because there's no filter. But this is like they pushed her to a point where she went and grabbed a chef's knife and ran it into our quote unquote main bully's face.
So it was the shit they dug up the hole with.
Oh, it was a spade.
Yeah, I don't know what it was called, but like they.
Oh, okay.
They had just dug up and.
Okay, a spade. Yeah.
Put the. So yeah, Cecilia and Emma were best friends when they were kids.
Oh, the time capsule.
Yeah, the time capsule. And that, I guess that they had just buried a time capsule. So openly starts with like home video of Cecilia and Emma just being kids, right? Just like singing songs and talking about stuff, boys, music, whatever, painting their nails, coloring their hair. And they put all of that memories or whatever in a time capsule and bury it and say, oh, we're going to whatever, unbury it in so many years and stuff. And
does it blow your mind that just fucking thinking about this, they're supposed to be like 20 somethings.
Yeah.
So like, and they're maybe their mid 20s is I think the idea.
Yeah.
Them doing this time capsule potentially could have been like 2001.
I don't want to think about their ages. Yeah. I'd rather not think that I was in high school, wrapping up high school while they were burying time capsules, stabbing people in their face. Yeah, I prefer not to. So, but yeah, so and then she has that event and I think it's interesting because there's a couple of ways you could see it because clearly Alex is being a bully to Cecilia.
And those like twin girls too, sort of, right?
Yeah, but Alex, I think one thing to note is that she turned those people, Emma, the twins, when they were kids, against Cecilia by just tearing her down, making fun of her. And of course she pays for it, right? She gets stabbed in the face, which sort of breaks up their friendship. And Alex almost inherently like takes Emma from her, right? That's almost like without said being said, because they, Cecilia and Emma have like those necklaces for like BFFs or something. And I guess at some point they had those necklaces and then she gave it back, or I don't know what happened to it. Alex had it. And it seemed like Alex and Emma were friends, continued to be best friends. And the thing is that this character, again, is, I guess they're trying to say maybe she's the popular girl, the mean popular girl, because she also has a large following on social media. And she also...
is a legitimate psychologist, right? Like a professionally trained psychologist, right? That was her. Like there was a conversation at dinner about it where they talk about Cecilia and how she helps people. And she's like, but I'm not a certified psychologist.
That was the Emma's wife, soon to be wife. I think she was actual psychologist.
Gotcha.
And Alex sort of takes this group of friends that were Emma's friends and turns them against Cecilia again, right? So clearly she definitely has like bully gang mentality, gang up mentality on Cecilia. Cecilia's kind of like feels like she's the victim of it. And she emotionally clearly never got over her, without it being said, love. She deeply like loves Emma, never really got over it, right?
Yeah, I guess. Okay. Because I'm trying to like, I'm not justifying Emma's behavior. I mean, not Emma, Alex. Alex's behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Alex, Emma?
Alex is the bully, and then Emma is the bully,
yeah,
friend.
Alex, yeah. Alex's behavior in that situation. But I'm also like, the last time you saw this person, she ran a spade in your face, and there's nothing to reconcile that, or like, there's no closure, I agree, in that situation. It seemed like they all got along with each other already. So it isn't like Alex is a bully in that group. It's just they all seem to be shitty, like mean. Well, not shitty, just like mean-spirited, making fun of people, which is essentially what we all do anyway, right? I mean, I'm sure some people are a lot nicer, but I don't
know. Maybe it's just the people we hate. we need new friends. No, I think that, yes, I agree. I agree with that, but I think she kind of is. I agree that she has every right to not want this person there at their house, right? She's every right, and maybe she's passive aggressively, and maybe it's in her nature and her personality to be passive aggressive and just like not like that's how she deals and functions with like this sort of this fucking uncomfortableness that she's feeling, like seeing this person.
Instinct. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I think in a lot of degrees, I think they did a good job of like justifying Alex's behavior, looking at Alex's behavior and then kind of putting like a couple of different ways you can view it, right? A couple of different points of views. Because Cecilia definitely has a point in that she apologizes. She tries to reconcile with Alex in a way, but Alex is not really having any of it. And which leads to Alex trying to like mean girl her and expose her for what type of fake person she is, which that's like Cecilia's one thing that she's super protective about her image there on social media. And she goes as far as to kill Alex, or at least bludgeon her, right? Bludgeon her with whatever kind of rock or whatever.
Which shout out to our homies Emily Dom and Paul Davila.
No last
they
names.
Sling rock. Well, because I'm trying to get them business.
Oh, okay.
Which I completely forgot the name of their shop. I'm sorry, guys. But
I was gonna say, why don't you just name the shop?
Because I don't remember. Well, anyway, they have a shop where they sell gems and other stones like that. Really cool stuff. The faceted fern, if you're looking for it on social media.
If you're looking for legit rocks
that you can bludgeon the back of somebody's head with, they sell some pretty good stuff.
Pretty weighty, big stuff for you to bludgeon people. In fact, you want to.
I'm going to share it. Oh, wait. No, I'd have to share it like 3 weeks from now or something, right? And some people listen, they'll see it.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, I think they did a good job of. Up to that point, I'll say this. I was like kind of like justifying some of Cecilia's behavior. Like maybe it was an accident. She was a kid. Alice was mean girling her. But then soon after she bludgeons her, I think that when she doesn't immediately come out to the guy that she runs into in the forest after she bludgeons Alex, I think his name was Jamie, who's part of that little bachelor.
The crutches, right?
Yeah. The guy with the crutch or whatever. Like he immediately calls her out because she's like, why don't you actually just tell me? Why did you just tell me the truth? Why did you have to lie? And that sort of like exposes her for that type of behavior. She does a good
job of like covering for herself to a degree where I was like, okay, maybe. I mean, she didn't have to bury her, right?
But, shallow grave her.
Yeah, yeah. Like, didn't even really try. But he was like, because she was like, you know, I mean, you guys canceled me. What am I supposed to do? I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And he was like, okay, you know what? No, I'll help you. Let's figure it out. We can figure this out. But then they call for him and he turns and looks and then she fucking pushes him off. He falls right to his death.
Right.
But like, even at that point, I was like, okay, maybe she's just freaking out. But then there was no like human reaction to being. After she pushes him off, her reaction is not empathetic whatsoever. She's just more of like,
I got to kill more people. Yeah. And you're right. She does.
Mess up.
Yeah. She ends up having to murder everybody. The one surprise, I guess, was Emma. That's where I would like to jump ahead to where she actually like is pretty much killed the entire bachelorette party, which was like only like two or three more people. And then she Emma comes back to the house. Emma gets separated, right? Somehow she like falls down the river or something.
Yeah,
and she gets separated for a sec.
She goes and looks for her friend, right? She's looking for her fiance. Yeah.
And they get
or
separated.
Or somebody, right? And like, yeah, she fucking falls into the river and is washed away for what seems like hours because
conveniently for the better part of the movie. Yeah.
Because then Fran is like, oh, her death was pretty gruesome.
Yeah.
I think the one person that got away kind of like okay was the other friend, the one that drowned in the bathtub.
She gets scalped, right? Is that kind of the idea?
Yeah. And then, but she dies like pretty quickly. Everybody else kind of has like a somewhat torturous death or like,
yeah.
Or I guess the dude that got pushed off the cliff that looked like it happened pretty quick because
kind of
like a bug gets like brutally mutilated.
Yeah.
But Fran, the fiance, that whole sequence where she's like, oh, let's go look for Emma. And Cecilia is driving way too fucking fast. On the wrong side of the road, driving on the wrong side of the actual vehicle. Like, why did she put a steering wheel on the right side? That makes no sense. They're driving on, like, the wrong side of the road at top speed. I'm just kidding, guys. So it's an Australian film.
Yeah.
She's driving on the right side. At, like, a very, very fast speed, which I cannot tell you exactly how many miles per hour because I'm pretty sure it was in kilometers. Because for a second there, I was like, holy shit, they're going lightning fast.
Going 140 kilometers.
Yeah, I was like, It was like, they're going 170 miles per hour. How's that even possible? Holy in this piece of shit car.
Yeah. I thought the same thing. Yeah.
And then she slams on the brakes. And whose fault is it really that Fran died? Fran could have put her seatbelt on. I don't know.
Yeah.
Flies through the window. She's all fucked up, crawling. And then Cecilia comes out of the car, looks at her, and then basically says, it's the right thing to do. Like, basically saying, I need to show compassion for this animal. I need to kill it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then dramatically, like, this car rolls over her head and, like, squishes her skull so her eyeballs pop out and all this gross shit.
I'm going to say I turned away. I didn't see it. I did not want to watch
it. Oh, it was so gross. Yeah.
I did. Like, yeah.
The wheel went over so slowly and it just like squished this like.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how they did it. I don't know. It had to have been like a 50-50 process of like prosthetics and CGI because, I mean, obviously it looked a little bit fake, but there was something a little too unnervingly real about it. It was like gross. When Alex finally comes to and she can't fucking talk, she can't do anything because like she got like her brain all fucking smushed.
She's like crawling some around. Of her sight, right? She comes,
One of her eyes is completely bloodshot and she can't really see anything. She can't talk, she can only scream, sort of. Runs into the mutilated body of our dude that got pushed off the cliff and he looks fucked up. And I just couldn't help but think like it's very movies got a movie when you turn on a light and whatever you're expecting to find is looking directly at you, even though you're in the middle of the fucking forest.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's great. That's fun.
Did you
look away then too?
No, I definitely saw his like almost petrified corpse, twisting corpsed body there. That fell
his very real head, like that they strategically had placing, like poking out, looking right at her. Like,
yeah,
that was great.
It was fun. That was a fun kill. And then, actually, all the gore, all the murder was pretty spot on. It was really, really good.
Here now you got to introduce the final kill. Well, yes. Not necessarily the final kill, the second to final kill.
Yeah, which we were saying was Cecilia and Emma are back at the house, and
also I like how we're saying this because we don't want Sissy to come and fucking kill us. Like, we can't just call her Sissy.
See, I know, right? And I think that like what is it? I really enjoyed the fact that Emma was trying to be her friend up until the very, very end. Like, until where she legitimately was like thoughtful and trying to be caring. At no point was she like mean to her or like cynical about their friendship. She was legitimately trying to be her friend, which I thought was very, it was a nice touch, especially when we get to the end when they finally meet up and Emma realizes Cecilia is crazy. And they get into a fight and Emma gets gets knocked out or something, right? Where she awakens like
like she gets her second wind or whatever, like her like.
Because after she wakes up, her hair died and she's tied up. And Cecilia is making her watch the home movies they made as a kid. And they had like even like tied up her mouth and everything.
And she's like, oh, yeah, she's pretending like none of this is really happening.
Right, yeah.
And that it's a fun night. And like oh, girl, we got to do your nails, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And good thing that friendship bracelets, BFF bracelets, necklaces are super sharp.
Yeah.
Just keep that, guys. Keep a note. If you ever need a... cut yourself out of a jam with like rope or duct tape or whatever, make sure you have like a BFF necklace. Just make sure that thing never points towards your neck, because I'm pretty sure it'll kill you. But wear it around your neck anyway.
So she, I forget how, but she frees herself And
she like tosses herself, like she's in the chair and she like knocks herself over.
Right.
Drops her necklace, like she's able to like release a necklace, or she sees it on the ground and she like picks it up and starts cutting her wrist ties, whatever was tying her wrist together, and she cuts it, and then she quickly jumps back up on the chair and puts her hands behind her back,
essentially leading to another scuffle. And she how does it happen? I don't remember the exact events, but Alex swings and hits Emma blindly. She's blind, obviously, right? She can't see, and begins to just like, Alex is swinging away and just like,
so what happened was this long drawn out, which was reminded me so fucking much of
Drive.
That fight scene between our two protagonists,
right,
where they beat like proceed to beat the shit out of each other for an uncomfortable amount of time is basically what happened. After Emma's able to swing and stab Sissy with the BFF necklace,
mm-hmm.
she tries to run away, and then Sissy like comes and like, oh, basically I gotta kill you now. And it looks like Emma is about to get killed, but then she has like that sort of like hero movie second wind and proceeds to brutally beat the shit out of Sissy, like this is, it's finally going to be over. And then Alex comes in and can't see anything, and because Alex is a bad friend, just automatically assumes that Emma can't fend for herself, so assumes that's Sissy, yanks her off, knocks her to the ground. And of course Emma doesn't do anything because she's like, oh, Alex, you're alive, but she doesn't say anything. That's the part that kind of bugged me, but I'm like, no, movie's got a movie, I'm gonna let it go, because she didn't say anything, like, please stop. Like, Alex would definitely recognize Emma's voice. But Emma proceedingly starts bashing her face in with the crutches. Is it the crutches of the guy? Or is it, like, something else?
It may have been something.
The crutch of the guy.
It possibly was. I don't remember exactly what it was. But I want to also say that her mouth was tied up, too, Emma's. I don't know if she freed herself after she recovered, but her mouth was covered, and like Cecilia had drawn like a smiley face on it or something.
I swear she took that off.
You're right. Yeah. She could have. I don't remember exactly like the details of it.
She popped that off like using her, like, you know, just moving her mouth around to do something in order to free herself initially, and then she put it back on real quick. But then they had a conversation, so.
And they, Alex, like, completely just, like, annihilates her, destroys her. Because Alex thinks that she's fucking killing Cecilia, and she hates Cecilia, and just put all her rage into it and beat her to, like, the meat. Past the white.
Like, Ryan Gosling heel boot to the face in the elevator drive style, bashes her face in.
Absolutely. And then Cecilia, having the presence of thought, takes a picture of it, so that's going to be important for the end. And she
basically thanks Alex too,
and then Alex gets shot in the head, and that's it.
Which also kind of bothered me, because that's not really how bullets work. Like, the slug of the bullet wouldn't, that's why I was like, oh, Cecilia fucking shot her.
Yeah.
Because it almost looked like the slug of the bullet was stuck in her forehead, which I think it was.
Right.
But it was our comedic relief sheriff dude shot her through the back of the head, and mm-hmm. somehow the bullet casing, the slug part, was like stuck on her forehead backwards somehow.
Yeah.
And then there was some like very brutally bad CGI blood coming out of her forehead.
Alex pulls it out, and there's some bad CGI, but I think it's intended to like just be a like what the fuck out of the realm of reality scene, doing it mainly for the vibes and the craziness of it. I don't think it was necessarily was there to make better sense.
Again, and you know, I think we both agree, like, I'm not going to tell anybody how to direct. I hate when people tell how to people write stories. It's their story. But in keeping with the theme instead of that bad CGI blood, because I felt like all the other gore was really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it should have been something weird, like a colorful mixture of something, maybe even like fucking butterflies pop out of her forehead or whatever, because Cecilia is watching this.
So I had a thought. So they your thing reminded me, because remember I had said that, like, I turned away when they smashed the head in. I didn't see it. I didn't actually see it, but I did hear it. And it sounded like the noise sounded like the button you smash when you heart something on a social media. That's what it sounded like to me. And I thought, like, because I turned away, but I did hear it. And it sounded like, you know, when you like something, it makes like a weird little chirp or sound or something. And I thought that, oh, that would be so cool if, like, they had, like, a heart, like, pop over her face as the tire goes over it as, like, a social media thing. And they could have done something like this, too, right? Where they could have done some sort of, like, thing where she, instead of, like, the fake CGI blood, maybe something else could have come out of their head or something. Some sort of
Also, thing. There wasn't an end credit scene or anything like that, right? I didn't check.
No, like, after credit thing, I didn't check either. I waited a bit because I did enjoy the credits in the sense because that, like,
I feel like there was, like, they really pointed out that somebody's iPhone 11 and their shoes were still at the initial scene where Alex got hit with the rock.
I don't remember. Because after the scene, Cecilia, it's like, I guess months later, years later, where Cecilia has now become even more popular because she's written a book about the crazy massacre. And she totally pins it on Alex killing everybody and her being the survivor. And we forgot to mention that she even has the present of mind to do a quick little live video where she says, like, oh, I'm under attack or there's something's going on. And
after she goes back to the house by herself and sees that painting they did of her, right?
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's staring at it, and the painting starts talking to her like, you know what you got to do? So she starts beating the shit out of herself as hard as she can, mm-hmm. and then she does a video. That's right.
So that leads you to believe that she has taken that and turned it into her story narrative, and she becomes empathetic from it, which makes her even... makes her more detestable as a human, as a person, as a human being, right? That she actually spun this out of it, and she becomes like sociopathic at this point. So, and that's it. And then she does like those, she's like doing a video for, I don't know, some social network and
affirmation video again,
mm-hmm.
and clearly a stage now, like a studio built for her.
Mm-hmm.
She is like super cleaned up. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed that part of the movie. I really enjoyed that ending. I'm like, this more believable than letting the hero win.
Yeah, and I think that's it's very tough to end a movie on such a like negative note, but I think that they did a fantastic job of fastening this character of Sissy. And creating her in this very... She's not, like, a likable character, but she's an interesting character to watch. You know, like... I don't know, like Breaking Bad, right? What's that guy's name? Walter White. Or, like...
Yeah.
Somebody... He's a villain that's interesting to watch that we as an audience are intrigued by, but in no way do we empathize with them. They're just, like, this character who's sociopathic.
What's your number one version of that? I got one.
In it, what's that like?
Like the villain, like you don't you sort of empathize with them, but you're more of like they are fucking evil, but I just can't stop watching them.
I think I would say here's a little out of left field one. I saw this documentary series on Netflix, and it was about villains in movies, like. Or like protagonists in movies, and they brought up a good one that I agree with. That I didn't occur to me, but yeah, it actually is true that Lawrence from Lawrence of Arabia is a bad guy. He's not a good guy, you know. But his sort of rise and like charisma and like beautiful portrayal by, you know, Peter O'Toole and stuff like that was captivating. But at no point did we like or empathize with the guy.
Yeah.
So what's yours?
Homelander from The Boys.
Homelander from The Boys. Yeah.
I could watch entire episodes with just that character.
Mm-hmm.
There is something so sad, but like, obviously nobody can fuck with this guy. I don't know. It's good.
Yeah, that's a good one too. Yeah, I definitely see it. See that as well. Cool.
All right.
I think we've spoiled everything we possibly could about this movie. Let's rate it now. Unless you had any last thoughts?
No, other than why is Celia spelled with a C but Sissy spelled with an S?
Because the tagline is, don't be a sissy. Don't be a sissy.
I was going to make some joke about gender norms and stuff like that, but I can't. Maybe that's why they didn't spell sissy with C-I-S. That would make bring up even more questions.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
John,
wait. I got to do it. I need edit points. How many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you know. Show us your sexy.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
For 2022's Sissy, I'm going to give it 6.9 sexy spooky bones.
69? Oh. Sexy of all numbers.
Because nice. Something I didn't mention that I wanted to was, what an incredibly attractive cast.
Yeah, they're all young and handsome.
I mean, well, like, they're all like, they're like late 20s or something like that. I checked because I was like, man, I don't know who these people are, but I guess they're all Australian, right? I just don't know these actors.
I checked and I follow all of them on all my socials.
All sexy spooky bones of them.
I want to 69 this entire cast. Got it, John. All right. I don't even know where to rate this. I wildly enjoyed this movie. This is a great movie and something that I hope people find and watch and becomes a big success. I'm going to give this movie 7 sexy spooky bones.
Nice. Yeah.
Really enjoyed it. Can't say I disliked much. Maybe some of the CGI was bad. Maybe some of the CGI, like you said, some of the CGI was bad. Because when they kill Jamie and they kicked him off the cliff, it is poor CGI, but I think that's part of it. That was part of the comedy of it at that point in the movie.
You know, I would have to rewatch that because I did pay attention to that and thought it was hilarious because I didn't think it was CGI. It was clearly a dummy, like a floppy dummy that they like threw off.
Yeah,
and then they waited and it looked really ridiculous. It looked very comic. Like,
yeah, I think that it was like you said, like there was real things they did with CGI added or included with it. So
yeah.
I think you're right about that. Cool. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
I'm not sissy.
You're a sissy.
Stay spooky.
That's such a sissy thing to say.
It's Cecilia.